Well, it's good to see you. It really is. And I appreciate you letting us come. And it's hot, hot, hot out there. It's cool in here, and it is nice. So we were just on the way over here. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. I bet some of you were raised without air conditioning, weren't you? I bet you were. I was. And
all of us has, and of course, the wall. Uh-huh. It's had it longer than we.
Yeah.
We've had it a long time.
Yeah, I do. I'm so thankful for it. When I was growing up, we didn't have air conditioning. I remember the first time when I went to the University of Tennessee, I used to hitchhike home. I didn't have a car when I was in college, and I'd hitchhike home from the University of Tennessee up in Knoxville, lived in Telico Plains. And I remember one day in the summer, I was in summer school, and I got a ride to Sweetwater. And then when I was walking from Sweetwater towards Telico, just so hot, there was an older lady that stopped in her car and picked me up, bless her heart, and she had air conditioning in the car. It's the first time I'd ever been in an air-conditioned car, and I was in college. And I thought, whoa, I landed on my feet this time. This is really nice. It felt so good, that air, cold air blowing. So we're kind of spoiled now. We have it all over the place in our cars and homes and wherever we go just about. But thank the Lord for it. I tell you, I'm very thankful. Well, the last time we were here, we were looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And what we talked about was how God, first of all, wanted spiritual leaders to stay humble. It's important, he said, for them not to lord it over people. And then he talked about how young men especially need to keep a humble, submissive spirit. That was very important. And then he expanded it to all of us. He said, I want you all to be clothed with humility. We all need to have that humility. And we talked about how hard it is to learn that lesson. It's not easy. Jesus demonstrated it for us. You remember when he laid aside his garment in the upper room with his disciples and he took a towel and he took that basin of water. And you remember what he did? He went around and washed their feet. That was what a servant did, not the Lord. But the Lord did it to show us that how important it is for us to be a servant. So we talked about that and how we need to be willing to let go of these selfish desires we have. You know, we all have selfish desires. We need to be willing to fit into the plans of others. Sometimes that's not easy. We need to be willing to do the menial things sometimes that we'd rather not do. We wish somebody else would do. Sometimes we have to clean up after somebody else. And we don't need to be griping and complaining about it. We need to learn to develop these humble spirits. We talked about how much God hates pride. He hates it. He says he hates it. And how at the right time, he will always break down the proud. He always does. He says, I'm opposed to the proud, and he will break it down. He will also always in his time lift up the humble. So we talked about that. When we get to verse 7, it's interesting what God does. It seems like all of a sudden he changes it from being humble to not worrying. But he puts the two ideas together here. We're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to be humble. And he puts it in one sentence. So I want us to read that again and hear what God's saying. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand what he's saying in his word here. Father, thank you for your word. And when we thank you for these songs that we've been able to sing, thank you for the songs that my wife picked out about the blood. Thank you for the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that apart from the blood of Jesus, we would all be lost. But because of the blood of Jesus, you've purchased us and forgiven us and cleansed us and washed us clean so that we can be your kids, not just now, but forever and ever. And Lord, we thank you for that wonderful promise. And we thank you that you, in your divine wisdom and power and love, have given us your word. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that every time we open it, if we will just listen to you, you will speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to just take it for granted, but help us to realize we're about to read your word. Help us to listen. Help us to have receiving hearts and teachable spirits, and let you speak to our hearts and change us and make us more like Jesus. We want you to be in charge, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is God's word. Likewise, you younger men, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. With humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Did you hear that? Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's God's word. I read a story one time about a man named Jim who was a worrier, worried all the time. And every time he was worried, something's going to go wrong. Things aren't going to turn out. Just everybody kind of laughed at him because he just worried all the time. Well, one day, one of Jim's friends named Bill saw Jim coming along and he was whistling and he was humming. and he was singing a song, and he had a big smile on his face. And Bill thought, that's not like Jim. Jim's usually worrying about stuff. He acts like he didn't have a worry in the world. So Bill was excited about that. He liked that. That was neat to see that change in Jim. So he thought, I'm going to find out what happens. He went over to Jim and said, what's going on here? You don't seem to be worried anymore. And Jim said, that's right. He said, I haven't worried about a thing for several weeks now. And Bill said, well, brother, that's wonderful. How did you manage to get there? How did you do it? And Jim said, I'll tell you how I did it. I hired a man to do my worrying for me. And Bill said, you did what? You hired somebody to do your worry? I never heard of such a thing. That's a new one on me. How much does he charge you, by the way? Jim said, he charges me $1,000 a week. And Bill said, $1,000 a week? Man, you don't have that kind of money. How on earth are you going to raise enough money to pay the man? Jim shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know. That's his worry. So, does that sound kind of appealing to you? I mean, just have somebody that would just do all our worrying for us. We wouldn't have to worry anymore. Somebody else just do it for us. I think you know what I'm about to say. In a sense, we have something like that, don't we? That's what God says. God says, you don't need to worry. Cast it on me. I'll do your worrying for you. Now, we know God doesn't really worry either. He just wants us to learn to let him handle those worries for us. And that's important. That's important. So God's telling us through Peter, we need to learn humility and do away with pride. We talked about that. And then he gets to verse 7 and he says, cast all your anxiety or your care or your worry on him, on God, because he cares for us, he says. He cares for you. He knows how to take care of us. You may have noticed there that verse 7 is not a complete sentence. I don't know if you picked that up or not. It doesn't stand on its own. It's a dependent clause. That's what we call it. It directs us back to verse 6. So what God's doing here is tying together, on one hand, this concept of pride and humility, pride versus humility, and on the other hand, worrying versus peace. Some people worry, some people have peace, some people are pride, some people are humble, and God's putting all that together kind of in one big package. And it's like he's saying, pride tends to go along with worry, and humility tends to go along with peace. They kind of work together. So our ability to throw all our worries on God depends on the degree to which we have really humbled ourselves under his mighty hand. Those two things go together. That's why I put it in one sentence. Let's think about that for just a minute, see if we can understand it. One way to look at this, what is worry? What is worry? Well, it's an attempt to look beyond today, right? We're worried about something that might happen in the future, something that might happen tomorrow, something might happen down the road. It's a concern over the future. It's a concern over something we can't do anything about. We don't have any control over it. We're not even sure it's going to happen. We're just afraid it might. And so we're worried about something. We're thinking about something that's not here and that may not ever get here. And it's a sin to worry because God wants us to trust him for our future. He's got control. He knows the future. And what we do when we worry is we siphon off energy from our own minds and hearts and our souls. We siphon off energy that God has given us that he intends for us to apply to things today, things that are going on now. He's given us energy to deal with right now. And he says, when you take that energy and you start spending it worrying about the future, something you don't have any control over, something you don't even know is going to happen, he says, that's sin. I don't want you doing that. Don't do it. Don't worry. Don't worry. So Jesus commands us very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about tomorrow. Just concentrate on today. This is the way he said it. And let me tell you something. My wife can tell you, I struggle with worry. It's real easy for me to fall into that sin. It really is. I will find myself worrying about what's going to happen. I'll think too much about the future. And I'll start worrying. And so because of that, a long time ago, I memorized this passage. And then you know what happened? I didn't say it very often, so I lost it. I didn't have it memorized anymore. And then I memorized it again. And you know what happened? I lost it again. So I'm working on it again. I've not quite got it, but I'm working on it. And this is what Jesus said. He said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus said. Now listen to what he said next. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Isn't the life more than food and the body than raiment? And then he said this, and this is so good. He said, consider the birds of the air. Consider the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And then he went on to say, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? You can't do it. You can't change anything by worrying. And he said, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet, Jesus said, even Solomon in all his splendor was not arrayed like one of these. And he says, therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then he said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, yeah, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. So he concluded that whole section by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. That's a command. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall worry about the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those are the words of Jesus. That's Jesus in God's word, and it's powerful. So if you tend to be a worrier like I do, I would really recommend you get your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 6, go right to the end of that chapter, and read and read and meditate and think about what Jesus is saying there. It's powerful stuff. It really is. It really is. Now, the fact that God's told us not to worry doesn't mean we shouldn't plan. There's a big difference in planning the best we can for the future and worrying about it. We're not supposed to worry. We are supposed to plan. God tells us how we're supposed to plan. James tells us how. He says, we need to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and we shall do this or that. You know, we'll do, this is what our plans are, but it's all, if the Lord wills, we shall live to do it. It's good to plan. We just have to submit those plans to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what the future is. You know what the future is, so I'm putting it in your hands. If it's your will, this is what I'm going to do, but you know what's best. And sometimes he overrules our plans, and that's good. He knows what's better. But when we start to engage in worry, sinful worry, what we've done is we've neglected to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. We think we can do something about the future that we can't. That's what we're acting like anyway. We've forgotten God's going to exalt us in due time. He promised he would. He promised he would. He said, you humble yourself under my mighty hand, I will exalt you in due time. You don't have to worry. We've deceived ourselves into thinking we can do something about the future. We can handle the future. It's up to us. And it isn't. As long as I think I can handle the future, which is totally uncertain to me. I don't even know what's going to happen in the next hour. You know, we don't know. We don't know. But if I think that I've got to handle it, I will almost certainly start worrying about it. Because there's so many things I can't control. There's so many things that can go wrong. When it finally dawns on me that I can't handle it, but God can. I'm not big enough, but God is. When I finally become willing to be humble before him, maybe I'll be hurt. That's okay. Maybe I'll be embarrassed. That's okay. When I empty myself of myself so that I can be filled with God and his Holy Spirit, it kind of becomes easier to just cast all my cares on him. I don't have to worry about it. He's got it. He's got it under control. Listen, he loved me enough to die for me. He did. He loved me enough to give his life for me. He's powerful. He can, and he certainly will take care of my future. There's nothing I have to worry about. I just don't have anything to worry about. He's big enough. He can handle it. And he promised if I would humble myself, yield up my desires to him, in due time, he will lift me up. When that starts to sink in, when it really sinks in here and here, and I learn to just relax a little bit and submit myself to the Lord and humble myself under his mighty hand, it's glorious. I'm telling you. Peace, the peace of God can fill our souls. God says it this way in Isaiah chapter 26. I bet some of you memorize this verse, or these two verses. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. You want peace? Perfect peace. God says this is how you get it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Not stayed on myself. Not stayed on stuff, not stayed on the future, stayed on God, fixed on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord, not myself, not somebody else, not my money. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is not just a little strength, everlasting strength, everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I read a real simple little story one time about a man who was riding a streetcar. This is many, many years ago. And he was, the streetcar stopped to pick up a little boy. And he looked at that little boy and he watched, and he suddenly had great pity for the little boy, because he realized he was crippled. And he couldn't walk much at all, but he struggled. And he struggled to get up the steps of the streetcar. And he managed to get himself into the streetcar. And then he struggled down the aisle. And had a hard time getting himself to move around. And the little boy finally got down there close to where the man was that was watching him. And he sat down beside that man. And the man looked down at the little boy. And he looked cheerful. He looked happy. And he thought, wow, this is kind of unusual. And the man looked down at the boy and he said, I want to ask you a question. How is it you can be so happy when you can't run and play like the other kids? Now, I think that was a pretty tactless thing for the man to say to the boy, but that's what the story said. He looked down and said, how can you be so happy? But the boy looked up in the man's eyes, and he gave him, I think, a wonderful reply. And it showed us something, too. He showed us he had a wise daddy. The boy said, well, Daddy tells me that God always gives us what's best. Daddy tells me God always gives us what's best. Don't you think I ought to be happy with God's best? Isn't that good? God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. So let's pray that God will help us have the same attitude that little crippled boy had. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. And Lord, I know that I don't do justice to your word, but I'd like to have the ability to communicate it better and more clearly to all of us. But Lord, I thank you that you have told us what we need to know. And you've told us we don't have to worry. We can cast all our care on you because you care for us. Teach us, Lord, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to know that you have got the future. You've got it under control. We just don't have to worry about it. Lord, thank you that we don't even know what's going to happen. Thank you that we don't know. Thank you that we can trust you, our Heavenly Father, to not only know, but to have it under control. So, Lord, please forgive us for the times when we get puffed up in ourselves and think we can do something about the future that we can't. Please forgive us for the times when we start worrying, getting fretful and fearful and anxious about the future. Lord, please forgive us. Help us to trust you completely. We know, Lord, one of these days soon, we're going to lay these bodies aside and we're going to be with you forever in eternity. You're going to give us new bodies at the resurrection when our Lord comes back, and it's going to be glorious and exciting. And then it will seem so silly for us to have worried during this life. Thank you, Lord. You've got it all in control. Teach us what we need to learn here and help us to trust you and represent you well to others so that others can see Jesus in us and that others may learn as well. Not that they don't have anything to worry about either, as long as they will trust Jesus. So help us communicate that well. And thank you so much for being willing to teach us and be patient with us and to forgive us over and over because of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.